if we were reading the Gospel of John straight through in relation to the flow of our liturgical church year, today's reading is out of order. It actually comes just after Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, with the large crowd waving their palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." This palm waving that we'll hear about and experience next Sunday sent the Pharisees into a tailspin. The scripture verse that comes just before what we heard today says, "The Pharisees then said to one another, 'You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" The world has gone after Jesus. Not just the crowds that were gathered, not just the Jews, but the whole world. I think that for John's community, hearing this passage would bring comfort and great hope. At least, I think it would for me. If I had had the courage to stand up against the powerful people in society, knowing that what I believed in would continue to bring me persecution, I would want to know that I was not alone. To know that even in my pain and suffering, the movement that I believe in was spreading beyond the boundaries of my individual life and branching out into the whole world. Yeah, I think that this would bring me hope for a better tomorrow. Today, we hear about some Greeks who went to Jerusalem to worship at the festival. We don't know much about these Greeks, but what we do know makes me like them. These Greeks were on a spiritual journey, and spiritual journeys are difficult. There were so many religious options to choose from. We don't know exactly where the religious lives of these Greeks began, but we do know now that they were there in Jerusalem to worship. These Greeks must have been on a ride because they were no longer praying to the multitude of Greek gods. They were praying to Yahweh, the one true God. You see, they were converts to the Jewish faith. Outgrowing one faith tradition and being led into another can be excruciating. So I have no doubt that their conversion to Judaism would have been a struggle. That even in their struggles, they were being drawn into something new once again. I can see why they chose to approach Philip. The name Philip is Greek, and Philip was the only one close to Jesus with a name that tied them to their origins. Even if by name only, the Greeks and Philip shared something in common which would have brought these inquirers some sort of comfort. They came to Philip and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." I can't help but wonder what they were expecting to see. I mean, being converts, they certainly would have known about their expectant Messiah, an anointed Savior that would overthrow the powers that be, rescue their people from oppression, and establish a new order in the land. This Messiah would have been a mighty warrior sent by God with military might, issuing death to those who stood in their way. Were they expecting to see a Samson like Jesus? 7 feet tall, weighing in at 300 pounds, with arms the size of bowling balls, and flexing his abs of steel. I don't know if they were in the crowd during the waving of the palms, but if they were, and chances are pretty high that they were, they would have witnessed Jesus riding into town on a donkey, a peasant work animal, not a mighty war horse. So maybe their desire to see Jesus went beyond simply laying eyes on him. Maybe they wanted to see Jesus face to face, the one that they had heard about, the one who is being heard about throughout the world. Maybe they wanted to experience firsthand the Messiah of nonviolence and peace. Maybe they wanted to simply be in the presence of the man who turned water into wine, the man who embraced the life of a Samaritan woman at the well, the man who was willing to heal the sick on the Sabbath, even though it was against the tradition. Maybe they wanted to see the man who fed 5,000 hungry people, the man who walked on water, healed the blind, and raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. They were being drawn to something new. These Greeks, who in the Gospel of John, they represent the world, they came to Philip and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." These Greeks, they represent you and me. They wish to see Jesus. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." If the Greeks represent us, I can't help but ask the question, do we wish to see Jesus? And if we truly wish to see our Savior, what does that mean for believers in the world today? To be the bearers of much fruit, to be fruit of the resurrection, that from that Jesus, that seed in which fell, that grew abundantly. We are called to both see Jesus in the world and be the living stories of the risen Christ that draw others to the comfort and hope of the gospel. Others who wish to no longer feel alone and truly see Jesus. Do we wish to see Jesus? Are we willing to go against the parts of our society that stand in conflict with the good news of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to stand up for Jesus, even when it is unpopular and might bring some sort of persecution into your life? And what would your neighbors think if you actually represented Jesus in the world? Are we willing to live fully into our baptisms by proclaiming by word and example the good news of God in Christ? It requires us to be present for other people and to use our voices. Are we willing to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves? If we're going to seek and serve Christ in all persons, that means Christ is in all persons. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable enough to see it and to love it. Are we willing to strive for justice and peace among all people? Even when that idea of justice and peace makes us uncomfortable because it pits us up against others, maybe even our family, our friends. Are we willing to respect the dignity of every human being? Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Who serves me, the Father will honor." Where we are, Jesus will be also. Christ. He is both. Our Lenten journey is quicker into Holy Week. Will we wave palms and welcome Jesus into our lives? Would we be willing to wave them publicly if he came down our street? Will we turn on Jesus when times get hard, and join the powers that be that yell, "Crucify him"? Do our actions already scream, "Crucify him," because we won't stand with him? Will we deny knowing Jesus to keep from having to actually live as him in the world? It's hard work. Will we abandon Jesus at the foot of the cross? Will we walk away when we see those who were created in his image, when they're suffering? Do we turn a blind eye and walk away? Is it too hard for us to deal with? Resurrection day is coming, but we have to walk through Holy Week. We have choices to make. Amen.